Can you tell us a little bit about your practice as an artist and what your last year has looked like in terms of what you've been up to?
I work mostly with watercolor, pen and ink. I've been using my tablet a lot. And I also do a lot of printmaking. And then this last year has been pretty crazy, especially with COVID and everything. A lot of my time's been kind of absorbed by work. But during my downtime when I'm not working, I've been trying to create as much as I can. So a part of that is I'm actually working on a book right now, a children's book. What I'm doing for the illustrations is using the water of the illustrations from what I'm illustrating. So for example, if I'm drawing a picture and it's the Vedder River, I'm using the Vedder River as the water for the illustrations itself. I just feel like it connects me a little bit more to the artwork. I have a deeper appreciation. The beginning of last year when COVID was kind of starting, I was doing paintings of the Fraser River. So I've been doing a lot of paintings in that capacity. But yeah, and I also joined the Abbotsford Arts Council. I'm part of the board. So that's new for me as well this year.
So you said you're working on a children's book. Can you tell us more about that?
I was invited to be a part of the Lily Pad Brigade. It's a group of artists, scientists, some people who are politically activists. And we all came together last year during the summertime at the Vedder River to plant a cedar tree. And we did drumming and singing. And afterwards, we all met together, socially distanced, at the Tractor Grease Cafe out in Chilliwack. And we all kind of sat down and decided, okay, how can we help the environment? What can we do to help make changes, to educate, to help people to understand? Since we all were coming from different places, we all kind of started connecting with different people. And I connected with an English teacher. And immediately as we were having the ceremony, I just kept seeing this children's book. And I'm just like, you know what, it'd be really great to have something that represents our local Indigenous community, but also that children can read and experience and connect with as well. And just maybe know a little bit more about, for example, like our place names of the area that's around us, but also understand that everything is connected to each other. And that's kind of what the children's book is about. It's actually about the cedar tree that we planted, but from the perspective of the cedar tree.
What was the intention behind coming together to plant that cedar?
Well, every year there would be a new cedar tree that's being planted. The cedar tree being very deeply rooted within the Stalo community. I'm not Stalo. I'm Blackfoot. I'm from Alberta, actually. So it was a big honor being invited to come along. But the point of planting the cedar tree was to bring back some of the growth that has been taken down and putting back and giving back to nature the things that we've removed in the past and trying to build those bridges and heal.
I wanted to take you to the very beginning. What got you interested in art in the first place?
Ever since I could actually hold a pen, I was drawing. And that was just something that I've always done. I don't remember like a definitive point or anything. My parents always said that ever since I was a toddler, I would sit down with some paper and pencils and just start drawing. My mom, she did a lot of genealogy work. And so she always brought me with her to museums and libraries. And she knew that if I had my paper and pencils, I would be good to go for hours and hours at a time. I am adopted. I'm a part of the millennial scoop. I went back to my birth family to see if there was any other artists within my birth family. And they were actually kind of stunned. They were like, no, we don't have any artists in our family. So I'm kind of just this one-off, I guess, and just love art and just love creating.
Have you used technology like Zoom to further your objectives this year?
I have, yeah. Actually, I did last year, I did some Skillshares, a couple of them with the Abbotsford Arts Council and also with UFE. And I did a watercolor course using Zoom. And that was the first time I've actually done that because I've always taught classes like directly in a classroom with students. But this time I used Zoom. It had to change a little bit. I had to get some cameras, you know, figure out the camera angles and how to show these properly. That was a challenge. And it was something that I had to kind of teach myself. I realized there were some things that I would prefer to do different, but it's about the learning process, I think.
Can you tell us what comes to mind when you think of like the big obstacles you had to overcome to get to where you are as an artist?
Being a part of the 60 Scoop, not being surrounded by my community and not knowing my language or being around my elders, that was a huge thing that I really had to get to know. And when I was going through school, you know, we didn't have things like the Indigenous Student Center like we do now. And so there was a lot of things that I really had to speak up for myself and really talk about challenges that I've had on my own. Whereas I noticed, you know, today we have the Indigenous Student Center, which is full of amazing workers, and they're so ready to help people and students in their classes and with tutoring and everything. Now that I'm a part of the Indigenous Student Center on this end, trying to pave that road for other students coming forward, especially art students, that was something that was really huge for me. And then also, I definitely see barriers now with getting access to galleries and all the tools and things that, you know, you just don't have with COVID. So that's part of the reason why I really want to be a part of the Abbotsford Art Council, being on the board member, is try to help other minority groups and especially Indigenous artists come to the forefront a little bit and have those opportunities for them, whether it be in the form of trying to find grants and funding or even just getting the word out.
So when you say that you didn't have that sense of community when you were growing up, I guess, or when you were coming up as an artist, how did that actually impact you and your practice?
It impacted me negatively because I didn't know what I stood for and I didn't know who I was. I realize I'm an Indigenous artist, I'm an Indigenous woman, but what does that mean as far as my artwork? And so instead of just walking out the door and being able to go into my community, I had to search out the community members kind of on my own and find elders and find people and find like-minded thinkers kind of on my own. And once I had that great support network and that built up, then it was a lot better. But it was that moment beforehand where I didn't have that. I think that was probably the most challenging part.
And so organizations like the Abbotsford Art Council, you think, could be instrumental in providing that support?
100%, yes. Right now, the Abbotsford Arts Council, they have a Dami Wenjack room, which is for Indigenous artists specifically. And I think it's such a wonderful thing to have because it gives a space for Indigenous artists, whether they be on reserve or off reserve, and just a place for people to come to and either practice art or show their art. And I think that's really integral moving forward, is to have spaces like that available to all people.